The form of Lord Jagannath is no different from Krishna himself. Baladev, Lord Balaram, and Subhadra, Krishna's sister, Subhadra. So these three personalities, they are appearing in this particular form and are worshipped in Jagannath Puri in East India. And in the Skanda Purana, there is a lot of description about Lord Jagannath. There it is explained that Lord Jagannath appeared a very long time ago in the Satya Yuga. So that's a very long time. And since the Satya Yuga, Lord Jagannath has been worshipped in Jagannath Puri. And actually, since that time, the celebration of Snan Yatra has been observed. So this Kali Yuga has been running for 5,000 years. Then we have the Treta Yuga, that was 864,000 years, plus 5, 869. Okay, remember that for a moment. Plus, now 3 times 4, 8, 4, 32, 12, 69, 12, 6, 4, 32, 12, 66, 1.266 million. Plus, what was that number? Okay, who brought the sheet? These days without computers and phones, how far did it get? 8.2 million. I'm getting old. Is it? Are you sure? Okay, it's still awake. Okay, I'll buy it. At least somebody gave an answer. But that was only like, we still have the Treta Yuga and then we get to the Satya Yuga. It's a very long time, millions of years ago. So, in this way, the Padma Purana takes us back to prehistoric times. According to modern times, human beings did not yet exist, but the Puranas are giving a different account of history. It's not based on digging in the ground and digging up a teaspoon and a cup and subsequently saying, this is so many millions of years old. Based on basically radioactivity. So it is said that the radioactivity of a certain time enters into the object and over time it loses some of its radioactivity. From there you can see. And thus they do a test. But if there would have been any interruption or any change or any fluctuation in the quality of radioactivity, which is very possible at any time, then the calculation would be wrong. How wrong? You know, what to do? So anyway, this is archaeology. We dig up teaspoons, we dig up cups, and we write a whole civilization around it. And then we print it in history books, and then teachers have to teach innocent children these things in school, as fact. Whether the teachers believe it or not, that doesn't matter. It's compulsory. But the Vedic history is different, because it is history that is descending. It's not history that is ascending. The history that is starting from darkness and then trying to reach to knowledge. It is history that is given by those who have knowledge. Knowledge which is revealed. Descending knowledge. Knowledge coming from the Supreme Lord to the great sages and then to us. So we go by the Vedic history. And millions of years ago, Lord Jagannath was being worshipped for Snan Yatra. Of course, Sanyatra is generally celebrated, or snan means bath, or the bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath, the Lord of the Universe, is observed 15 days before Rath Yatra. We are here in the southern hemisphere, so our Rath Yatra is at a different time than the Rath Yatras in India, because the seasons are a little different. So normally, the Rath Yatra in India is observed in July, and then Snan Yatra 2 weeks before. And it is said in the Skanda Purana that actually the Snan Yatra day is the appearance day of Lord Jagannath. It is then when Lord Jagannath appeared, and because of that, the bathing ceremony is happening on that day. Because when the deity appears, you're supposed to do a bathing ceremony on that particular day. Of course, today, since we're in the southern hemisphere, it's not that day. But that doesn't matter. It's the southern version of that day. It is before Rath Yatra. It is foreboding the Rath Yatra festival, the chariot festival of the Lord. For Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 500 years ago, it was the same. Because when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had traveled around South India, he returned to Jagannath Puri after a long, long journey, practically 6 years. And when he returned to Jagannath Puri, at that time, it was just the time of Snan Yatra. And in very short time, the news spread. Although there was no internet in those days, it didn't matter. News still spread very fast. And somehow or other, in a very short time, all the devotees from Bengal reached to Jagannath Puri. And when they came, it was a huge festival. They had amazing kirtan known as Prem Sankirtan. And it was such kind of kirtan like no one had ever seen. It was full of life and enthusiasm and eagerness. And people had not seen, and everyone came to see that kind of Sankirtan, which was the Sankirtan that was taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he himself crowned this Sankirtan by his extraordinary dancing. So when the Snan Yatra was taking place, it was an amazing event, because although Snan Yatra had been absorbed for hundreds and thousands of years, still it had never been observed in that way. Never. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for Snan Yatra, the amazing thing was all the water that was bouncing of Lord Jagannath. So many drops flying in all directions. Endless pots of water were poured over the deity forms of Lord Jagannath, and the water was splashing in all directions. And then the most amazing thing was to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was dancing in front of Lord Jagannath. And the amazing thing was that from his body there was more water coming than from the body of Lord Jagannath. How is it possible?
Tears.
Tears shooting in all directions. Yeah. How is it possible? In this way, that Rath Yatra was historic. There was no Rath Yatra, no Snan Yatra ever like that. Snan Yatra is a festival of mercy. That water, that bathing water that has touched the Supreme Lord, is invested with all the transcendental potency of the Lord. And anyone who gets a drop of it is touched by it somehow or other. Anyone who gets the opportunity to bathe the Lord, you were all bathing the Lord with water, I was bathing the Lord with transcendental sound. Same thing. So in this way, bathing the Lord, one gets great mercy. Great mercy. Such mercy. What is that mercy of the Lord? So many people are praying for the mercy of the Lord. The rich man in the big house is praying to the Lord. Oh Lord, be merciful to me and let no burglars come to this house. The burglar outside the wall is also praying, oh Lord, be merciful unto me and let me enter into this house and do a good clean-up job, as they do. Right? Like this, both are praying, and Prabhupada said, and the Lord is in between, and they're pulling at him, right? What is he supposed to do? He's perplexed. Right? The Lord is perplexed. But not like this. This Rati Yatra is different. This Nan Yatra is different. It is for the glorification of Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath, the bathing of Jagannath, the Supreme Lord. He is the Supreme. And thus, he's offered this bath for his honor. And those who do so, they are locking the Lord into their heart. They develop attachment. So no other benediction, no protection of wealth, no gaining of wealth, no. Gaining real wealth, spiritual wealth. Gaining the wealth of attachment to Krishna instead of attachment to so many other things. Oh, so many things to be attached to in this world. We all have our attachments, attached to the place of my birth. And on the plane someone said to me, as we were about to land, said, oh, I can't wait. No place smells like home. But it's true. There are particular trees, in Cape Town. I don't know what they have now on the airport, on the international airport. They used to have this poster of the Valley of Flowers. As soon as I saw the poster, I would sneeze. So many hairy flowers, all kinds of, nightmare flowers. Anyway, the poster was enough for me. But Valley of Flowers, people that were born in the Valley of Flowers can't wait to be there. I bring my tissues. Anyway, whatever may be. But where I'm from, it's true, it's the ocean and the fresh wind of the ocean. What am I saying? ocean, yes. So there's something to say for that, the smell of the place of our birth. Yes, the place of our birth, yes, but, so what? Taken birth so many times, so many places. So these kind of attachments, for one who has knowledge, are so relative, are actually meaningless. Birth, how many births? Even Lord Brahma, who lives like a cycle, 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas. I mean, I leave it up to Madhavi Prabhu to give us the numbers, if he's inspired. But 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas, right? Is one day of Lord Brahma, and then 100 years of such days. So that makes his lifespan, I think it's something like 411 trillion or something like that.
311 trillion and 40 billion.
He says 311 trillion and 40 billion? Okay. Thank you. A big number, and a serious number. The lifespan of Lord Brahma. And it says, Kuta Chatra Nana Nana Mara Mara Jivati. And how many four-headed Brahmas have taken their birth and have died? So, you know, like, our lifespan is like nothing. And Lord Brahma's lifespan so long. And yet, his lifespan is considered temporary. In the Bhagavatam, the lifespan of the demigods, one day of their time is 6 months of ours. Their lifespan is, and they live 10,000 years of that. It is said that their lifespan is like a bubble in the ocean. So, attachments, place of birth, attachment to earth, attachment to this and that. What is the point, actually? It's illusion. It's false attachment. All that attachment belongs with Krishna. And simply by serving Krishna, by celebrating Krishna's glories, that attachment is transferred to Krishna automatically. That is a nice thing. Automatically. Not by some artificial endeavor, but automatically. And that is the nature of such a festival. It is a festival where automatically our attachment to the Supreme Lord awakens. So this sannyasa is a significant event. It's an event which changes our lives. So Lord Jagannath has many, many festivals. As many as about 60 festivals a year. So that's more than one a week. So there's always a festival or other in relation to Lord Jagannath. If we really celebrate it, we could put one on every Sunday. They're all listed. So something to consider. But the principal festival is Rath Yatra, which is coming on the 28th. And that, of course, is one of our main festivals in the year. That is the time when anyone who sees Lord Jagannath, anyone who pulls the chariot of Lord Jagannath, attains liberation from this material world. No matter where that person's at, irregardless of that person's karma, irregardless of the situation where they are. So it is said in scripture. So that's something very significant, because all of us, we have our karma, and what can we say? It's sort of a bit of an obstacle. At times, or at all the times, but this Rath Yatra is like that. We just pull the chariot and liberate it immediately. Touch the rope, it says. Just touch the rope. What to speak? Picking up the rope is better than touching the rope. Pulling it's still better. Sort of, and not only pulling, let all the others pull and just hold it, you know what I mean? Not that kind of pulling, but like, you know, really pulling, you know what I mean? Pulling. Pull. That, of course, gets more mercy still. That is the nature of Krishna, because we're dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not some sort of automatic formula, and if you are pulling rope automatically, you're getting this and this benefit. No, it's personal. It's personal. Yes, Krishna gives anyone who touches the rope liberation from birth and death. But still, everyone, according to his surrender, Krishna reciprocates in a different way. As one surrenders unto me, I will reward them accordingly. So this is the these are the words of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, and that is very significant. It is said that when Krishna was very small, that one day Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men had to go and paid taxes in Mathura to the king. So they loaded up many carts with milk products and so on, and the produce of the land and grains and this and that, and they're bringing it all to Mathura like this. And then just on that day, this amazingly beautiful lady appeared in Vrindavan. No one had ever seen anything like it. There were only old men left, but those men were not that old that they did not appreciate. They were indeed like, you know, their eyes were popping out of their sockets, I tell you. And yet they were looking there at this lady. And the ladies also, even the ladies thought she must be some goddess. She must be a goddess that has come to see Krishna because he's so wonderful. But it was not a goddess, as we know. It was that witch named Putana, who came to drink the blood of little children. Oh, yeah. And she just had her eye had fallen on Krishna. Putana. Very sweet and beautiful. And that Putana went inside, and Krishna just saw her, and he saw through the whole thing immediately. And when she saw that glance, it was penetrating so deep. That glance was penetrating deep into her soul. And as a result, she felt that this boy, this child, is so powerful. He can destroy the entire universe. And then you're there. Rubbish. What kind of rubbish thought is that? Rubbish. Took the child. Put him on the breast, where there was some nice poison, nicely applied on the nipple, so that the dear little darling could suck the poison. And Krishna did, but along with that poison, he also sucked milk. And that was devotional service. Then along with that poison and along with the milk, Krishna also sucked out her life air, and that didn't help Putana's residence in that body. I mean, it got a little uncomfortable for her. She kind of felt like, she became very restless. She couldn't stay in that place. She could not keep that form of the beautiful woman and started to go into her original form. Now, believe it or not, Putana's original form was 20 kilometers long. I know she was on the large side, especially for a lady. You know, must have been hard to find a match for her. No wonder she turned to a witch. Now, leaving that aside. This is some mundane logic applied to the Putana situation. But anyway, Putana, she grew fast in size. She tried to pull the child off her breast, but the child, although small, was very strong and held onto her breast and squeezed very hard with his two little hands, and that hurt even more. So she just ran. Well, the child dangled on her breast, and she grew as she was running, and by the time she came to the edge of the village, she had come to the full 20 kilometers, and she crashed on the ground, crushing Kamsa's favorite fruit orchard. And then Krishna was still on that breast, which now looked like a mountain, and her body looked like a landscape. Consider 20 kilometers, means it was a landscape. Her breast like a hill, and Krishna being somewhere on that hill. I mean, that was the situation. Anyway, the cowherd men were just coming back, And they saw this strange shape on the horizon, and anyway, they got Krishna off that body somehow or other. And then of course Mother Yasoda did so many things to Krishna. She was bathing him in cow urine. She was dusting him with a calf's tail and all kinds of things, you know, for getting rid of all the inauspiciousness. Mothers do such things. Prabhupada's mother used to do all kinds of things. See, for a long time, she had taken a vow that she would eat with her left hand, which is, Vedically speaking, wrong. She would be with the right hand. But she was eating with the left hand. She was going to eat with the left hand until he would ask why she wasn't eating with the right hand. And she was convinced that that would protect him. So one day he finally asked, you know, why are you eating with your left hand? Then she never did. All these kind of things were going on. But Mother Yasoda also was convinced that Krishna was protected by the rituals, by the bathing with cow urine, by the dusting with the calf's tail, and all that. Anyway, meanwhile, when the cowherd men, you know, they had this huge body, you know, so it was not like easy to kind of get like enough firewood to burn such a big body. You know, it was a huge job. They had to chop down half a forest, you can understand, and they couldn't burn the body in one go. It was too big to make such a fire, so they chopped her in pieces and then burned it piece by piece. Yeah, it took a while. 20 kilometers, you can understand. A lot of burning. But anyway, there was a very sweet scent coming from the body of Putana, because Putana had attained the mercy of the Lord. Because although she'd given poison, she'd also given milk. And that's what Krishna accepted. And because she gave milk, Krishna accepted her as his mother. And she got the position of a mother, that is to say, a datri, a nurse in the spiritual world, who was assisting in taking care of Krishna. So like that, she got a high position, just because she did a little service. Although she was a demon. So that's encouraging for those of us who are demons. In case there are some here today, it is not a problem. No, it's not, actually. It's fine, you know. Because, you can see, even demons, when they do a little service, they can, you know, they can really go a long way, all the way to the spiritual world. So if you are a demon by any chance, don't worry about it. It's fine. Yeah, we're not making a thing about that. Everyone's welcome, even demon, but, you know, keep your hands off the children. Then we get serious. Isn't it, guys? Well, I don't know about the guys. They didn't say anything, but I'm sure I'm sure the ladies will take action. So, like that, we are seeing the extraordinary mercy of Krishna. Never this story of Putana is time and time again remembered by our acharyas as the evidence that Krishna gives mercy to anyone disregarding all disqualification as long as we engage in devotional service. It is on that strength that this movement operates, and it's on that strength that these festivals such as Snanyatra, Ratiyatra can change the lives of anyone and everyone. And that's really the principle. Now it's Kali Yuga. It is the age where the entire world has become demoniac. It's the standard. It's normal. It's in what we eat, it's in what we drink, it's in what we say, it's in what we think, it's in what we see, it's in what we hear. It's everything is just mixed with demoniac things. It's what we brush our teeth with in the morning. Grinded bones in the form of paste. Some crushed bones. Gurgle. I'm a vegetarian. bubble. Oh, well. What can I say? I won't mention any names, starting with Cole and ending with E, but, you know. I mean, right? You understand what I'm talking about. Well, what to do? Everything. Prabhupada calls it ugra karma, horrible work meant to destroy the world. Ugra means horrible or angry, and karma is work. Ugra karma. Yes, we took birth in an ugra karma family, in an ugra karma house, in an ugra karma street, in an ugra karma neighborhood, in an ugra karma town, in an ugra karma country, wearing our ugra karma clothes. You know what I mean? How much cotton is there in your shirt? And it's like, you know, ugra, come on. Cotton? What's that? You know what I mean? Natural things. I dress in oil. Oh, very nice. Like this ugra. Ugra paint on the wall. See, acrylic. If you touch it, it goes inside your body through the pore holes and mixes with the blood. Ugra. You breathe it. Yeah, everywhere in the whole world. Sprayed whatever we eat. Genes, you know, like scorpion genes in the tomatoes. Pig genes in the potatoes. Those big ones. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, you can find it. The big potatoes have pig genes. If you had any doubt, you can check it on the phone. And the tomatoes have scorpion genes. Oh, well, you know, they're a sting. Pizza with a sting. It's Kali Yuga. So, what to say? Who is not contaminated? Who escaped? Who lived on an island where everything was pure? Who got away? Where there was no influence of any sin. Nothing, not even behind closed curtains. Nothing had no skeletons in the closet. Everyone has closets full of them. I mean, don't open any closets, whatever you do. It looks like the catacombs in there. Keep the doors closed. We don't worry. Because the amazing thing is that if you chant Hare Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, right, what happens when you chant Hare Krishna? I'll tell you now. When you chant Hare Krishna, all the skeletons disappear. One day you'll have an empty closet. They're all gone. Wait a while. Chant a while longer just to make sure nothing rolls out. There's no left. But in due course of time, all the skeletons will disappear. All those remnants will disappear. And that is wonderful. That is wonderful. And that is why this movement is amazing. This is an amazing it is a movement that can transform individuals, and it can transform the people at large. It can transform the entire world. And that's going on. So we're very happy that just around Christmas, we're celebrating the Rath Yatra. So this is the inauguration to the whole festival. And a festival where whoever gets touched is getting the mercy. And those who knowingly serve Lord Jagannath, they get the most mercy. That is the amazing thing. So we are very fortunate to be here. So please stick around for all the things that will further unfold in the coming week. Thank you very much. Any questions? Any comments?
Before you do that,
during Rath Yatra, how can we spread the mercy more to others by engaging them? There are many ways. I saw Kavi Chandra Maharaj in Durban running up and down from the chariot and just bringing prasadam to all the bums who were sleeping on the street. We were in Soweto doing Rath Yatra, and we were distributing lots of fruits and things. And then at one point, the fruits were finished, but the cart was decorated with fruits. And then we started to just strip all the fruits off the cart. And in the end, there's no more decoration on the cart. And it just distributed the whole decoration. And I remember I got a pineapple. And I gave this pineapple to these old people. They were over the wall, you know. And they were so happy, these old African people. And they were so happy to get a pineapple. I thought, my God, they live in the country of pineapples, you know. this is pineapple country, right? You know? And they never had a pineapple, that was quite clear. To them, to get a pineapple was such a big thing. Was I happy that I could give this big, fat pineapple, you know, to them, which came from Lord Jagannath's chariot. So that's like, you know, you give the mercy to those who you think need it the most or deserve it the most. And you see, you look around, and you look around that street, and in that one you're going to give it. The one who you think needs it the most or deserves it the most. That one you give. With the evil in our sight, and then I missed it.
You look around the world, there's a lot that's busy going wrong. There are parties that are misleading their flocks. There are corrupt corporate systems that are ravaging our country, destroying our environment. I understand that this is a good movement, but how do we as people deal with that aspect of what's being alive?
Yeah. I guess, you know, that's a good question that we have been confronted with from, you know, what's going on before we were born. And we were born into a system, and as we were growing up and becoming aware, we began to notice it's like to win through corrupt. And now what to do? What do we do about that? Yes, we must. It's the same old thing. If you want to change the world, you have to begin with yourself. First, you have to yourself be above certain faults to expose them. So that's the first thing. So we also try we try to rise above personal weakness. And that's an endeavor, because it's not like, you know, a matter of putting on a uniform or something like that. Or following a process. No, it takes time. It's hard work. So we have to go to work with ourselves, and then have enough humility to be honest and say, look, I'm not perfect, but I'm working on it, I'm trying, and I wish in the world we would stop doing so many destructive things, to the animals, to other human beings, to nature in general, and so on. For what, you know, for just those few little comforts that modern life offers. It's just amazing. But we became so, we grew up in an artificial world, it's very difficult to go back. Like, to be honest, I still don't know, if you send me into a forest, well, I don't know which plants I can eat and which ones I cannot. It's like, I would have a hard time, I tell you that. You know, it's like, some plants I might know, but, you know. It was tough, when I went to school, which is a while ago, they had these books, you know, and you could, from them, figure out what kind of plants you were dealing with. Certain shape of leaves were all in categories, and you look at, and then you get a picture, you know, I'd look at the picture, look at the plant, and go, is it the same? Is it not? Is it a look-alike? And I was not sure. So, as I say, we live with all these artificial things, and it's not so easy to just go back and stop depending on these things. Many of these things are products of demoniac systems. How do you have a world without cars? Right? I mean, huh? No. And if we would have to, you know, it wouldn't be so simple to never use a car. So, where do we begin? Let's at least begin with some commitment to some principles of not causing suffering to others. Things like that. Try and live that as much as we can. So it's okay, we have our way, we have our message, we have books. See, we think that for the world at large, books, for the destitute and for people in general, food. There's always food for everyone. And books to provide knowledge. Today, of course, I told some stories which came from Puranic literature. I didn't go into like a systematic presentation, you know, of what we could offer the world in terms of, but the books are offering qualities, human qualities, qualities of goodness. You have in this world goodness, passion, and ignorance. Ignorance are things that destroy, you know. I mean, you drink that bottle and it destroys, so it kills so many brain cells. And what did it bring, actually, if you think about it? Yes. Ignorance. Or needlessly killing, ignorance. Living in dirt, ignorance. Passion is the endeavor to enjoy. To squeeze enjoyment out of everything. You know, whatever we can. Good time. And then goodness. Goodness is trying to elevate ourselves and others and the world around us. So let's cultivate goodness. Let's bring out more goodness. Places are in goodness, passion, or ignorance. People, foodstuffs, so many things. So let's identify what is in goodness and strengthen it in ourselves and around us. Maybe then we do something. Anyway, we're trying. It's a trial and error process. Thank you for the question. Yeah. Okay, well.